life was telling Jesus goodbye. But guess what? You and I are getting ready to get to do. We're getting ready to say, welcome back. And we're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you are privileged to live right now, this is the ultimate time. I'm so glad I didn't have to be the Apostle Peter or the Apostle Paul. Now, that would have been okay if I couldn't be here. But I'd much rather be here right now. Watch this whole plan come together. I'm telling you, the day the lightning flashes out of the east and comes to the west, and the day we hear the blast of that trumpet, you understand how incredible the rapture is going to be? I mean, the Bible describes it. That when that last trumpet sounds, that our bodies are going to suddenly be transformed from mortal beings to immortal. Whoa, what kind of an experience is that going to be? We don't even know exactly what the body's going to be like, except it's going to be like the one he had after he rose from the dead. And I know how that is. You can appear and disappear. Is that going to be fun or what? I mean, you can have a really good youth group. The youth leader, he's invisible, but he's in the back seat, you know. And young people, you get a little bit out of line, you'll say, who's that clearing their throat in the back seat? Well, anyway, just some of my imagination. But I know one thing. I know one thing. When he comes, suddenly this mortal is going to put on immortality. Now, I hope that the rapture has been taught correctly here. I'm sure it has. But just in case, let me tell you how the rapture is going to happen. A lot of people teach when the rapture occurs, everybody's just boom, gone. You know, the Bible does not say that. The Bible says you're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and then you're going to be caught up. Now, when Jesus was caught up, how did it happen? His feet left the ground, and he started up, and they watched him. I don't mind telling you, I've been living for God a long time. First place I went to church when I was born was, first place I went when I was born was to church. I don't want to live for God all this time and then just all of a sudden, poof, and it's over. Man, I want to feel that jolt go through me. And I want to feel gravity lose its hold. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. I don't have a clue why anyone would not get their reservation for this. I fully do not intend to miss out. I'm not missing out. Now, for years of my Christian life, I used to think that I'd do my very best, and at the last minute, I'd get to the pearly gates, and Peter would slam the door in my face and say, ha, good try, you just weren't good enough. I mean, I had nightmares like that. I used to think that was the way salvation worked. That's not the way salvation works. If you give your heart to the Lord, if you're born again, and you do the very best you can, I want to tell you what's going to happen to you. The Bible says the race is not to the swift, it's not to the strong. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now let me tell you, I may not be the fastest and I may not be the strongest, but I'm in for the long haul. I got my mind made up. I don't care. You can put $10 million right there tonight. No thank you very much. Not for sale. Because when that last trumpet sounds, I plan to be here. I plan to be ready. I'm supposed to be teaching a lesson. I'm just warming up. But isn't it exciting to be a Christian? I'm telling you what, don't sell out. You say, but I'm such a weak person. Good. That's the only kind of people God saves. That's the only kind of people God uses. Because if you think you're strong, he can't save you. But if you're weak and just say, Lord, I love you. I'll do the best I can, but I'm going to need a lot of help. He loves that. And guess what? He's the giver of help. I will look to the hills. From whence cometh my help? I'm telling you, God is going to help you. The only way you'll ever lose is if you give up. If you'll hang in there when it looks like there's nothing to hang on, I'm telling you, God is going to bring you through, period. He's promised. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never. Don't you love that word, never? Okay. I'm trying to get to this lesson. That's the problem. He's blessing me too much. Just slow down a little bit. Well, it's wonderful to be with you all tonight. But I'm going to try. Okay, y'all ready? Okay. And I'll try to go fast. All right. I already told those of you that were here this morning that there are at least four major prophecies that are in progress in 2008. These prophecies are of such a magnitude that if any one of them occurred in a 100-year period, it would be considered incredible and supernatural. However, we have four of them occurring, and it looks like they either will be culminated in 1 year, four century-impacting prophecies all converging together now. And I want to just mention them real quickly to you, and then we're going to concentrate on one for this evening. Number one, there's a prophecy that there's going to be a war that's going to kill 2 billion people. It's going to start from the Euphrates River. We have 170,000 troops stationed along the Euphrates River this evening. The Euphrates River is about 70% in the nation of Iraq. It is coming, and that war has to happen before the Great Tribulation. That's one prophecy that appears to be in progress even now. There's another prophecy that says every person will be required to have a mark or a number without which they cannot buy or sell. There is a global program right now that every person on earth will have an identification number and also will have an ID card by 2010. It's coming from the United Nations. President Bush, I have the document in my possession where he said we're passing the Real ID Act now because we want to cooperate with the International Civil Aeronautic Organization of the United Nations. They're trying to get that done. Out of 192 nations on earth, 186 of them will have a national ID system in 2 years. You got to have that to implement the mark of the beast. Every person will be required to have a mark or a number without which they cannot buy or sell. Number three, the Bible states that there's going to be a peace agreement in the Middle East, and when that peace agreement meets certain criteria, that will begin the final 7 years to Armageddon. And I'm going to be teaching extensively on that tonight. And then number four, the Bible prophesies the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire. We taught on that this morning. Now, all four of these lessons are in DVD in there. You can get them individually or all together, and they are available to you if you choose to order those. Nevertheless, tonight I want to talk to you about one of my favorite prophecies in the entire Bible. President Bush said this year that he believes the final 7 years will begin this year in 2008, before he leaves office. As I told you this morning, he didn't say it exactly in those terms. What he said was, and you'll hear him say it before this evening is over, he said he believes there will be a peace agreement signed between Israel and the Palestinians that will settle all core issues. And the core issues are the issues in the prophecy that must happen before the final 7 years. You're going to hear President Bush in person, by way of video clip, you're going to hear him say it before this lesson is over tonight, that he believes that will happen yet in 2008. Now, this prophecy is called the confirmation of the covenant. The confirmation of the covenant, if it does occur in 2008, will be the greatest prophetic fulfillment in 2,000 years. Now, one reason I like this prophecy is because this is a prophecy with a date on it. Now, a lot of people, they're scared to death about date setting. But this prophecy, I didn't set any dates, God does. The Lord said that when this prophecy occurs, there will be 7 years left to the second coming and the battle of Armageddon. And that's one reason I really like this prophecy, is because it's one of the prophecies with a date on it. And I'm going to show you where that is in the Bible. Now, the prophecy is called the confirmation of the covenant. The confirmation of the covenant, like I said, according to Scripture, will begin the final 7 years to Armageddon. Now, President Bush decided that he didn't want his legacy to be the Iraq War. So early in 2007, he made a decision that the last 2 years of his presidency would be devoted to trying to forge peace in the Middle East. Between January 1 of 2007 and November of 2007, our Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, traveled to the Middle East 9 times. She averaged 1 time a month. And then, about in July of 2007, President Bush announced that he would host a peace conference on the Middle East. The Palestinians and the Israelis had not had negotiations since the Camp David talks broke down in the year 2000. Now, President Bush made a decision that he was going to try to bring an end of that and to relaunch the peace process. So he sent his negotiators out. Javier Solano participated, Tony Blair participated, Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations, participated. And finally, in late October, he put out the invitations for the Annapolis Peace Conference. It was held on November the 27th of 2007. At the Annapolis Peace Conference, there was a declaration that was issued called the Annapolis Summit Declaration. Go ahead and switch to the next slide for me, please. And in this declaration, Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinians, and Ehud Olmert, the prime minister of Israel, signed a statement. And the statement read in part, "We agree to engage in vigorous, ongoing, and continuous negotiations and shall make every effort to conclude an agreement before the end of 2008. Now, that was signed November 27 of 2007. So, Mahmoud Abbas and Ehud Olmert agreed with President Bush, we will make every effort to reach an agreement by the end of 2007. In January of 2008, President Bush went to the Middle East for the first time in his presidency. Then he went back in May. So, within 6 months' time, he went twice, leaning hard. In the meantime, since January of this year, and this is, of course, June, Condoleezza Rice just finished her 6th trip this year. She's making monthly visits because they are putting on a full-court press to make sure this happens by the end of this year. Now, let me remind you, and I'm going to explain to you why I'm saying this, that if they're successful, according to the scripture, the final 7 years will start by the end of this year. Shall we take a vote whether you want that to happen or not? I mean, can you imagine 7 years from seeing Jesus? It's going to be incredible. The only reluctance I have are all the people who are lost. That does burden me. So we got to get all those people saved in the short time. I'm not telling you tonight now that we've got 7 years left because I don't know that. I am telling you, though, if President Bush is right, it appears to me we have 7 years left. We're going to look at the scripture so you can make your own judgment. Now, we're dealing with one of the most difficult prophecies in the Bible this evening. I always look the congregation over to see if I have intelligent people in the meeting that night or else I don't teach this lesson. But I'm teaching it tonight because it's obvious that you are highly intelligent people. So, think with me right now. The first passage we're moving to is Daniel chapter number 9 and verse number 26. This is a prophecy that is called Daniel's 70 weeks. Now, as soon as you say that name, it confuses people because it's not really about Daniel's 70 weeks. But it's about Daniel's 77s. And some of the translations of the Bible actually interpret it. 77s are determined upon my people, Israel. Because it's not about 70 weeks. It's about 70 groups of 7 years. 70 weeks of years. Now, are you confused yet? Let me say it one more time. This prophecy was given to Daniel by God of 70 weeks of years or 490 years. If every week is a 7 year period and there's 70 of them, this is a 490 year prophecy. And in the prophecy, and we're not going to study the whole prophecy tonight, you're going to have to take a few things I say tonight by faith, or else we will be here 2 more hours, and we don't want to do that. So the prophecy simply says that from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 B.C., and then it was rebuilt 70 years later. And the Bible says from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah will be 69 weeks of years, or 483 years. And then it tells us what's going to happen after 483 years. Now, the thing you need to notice about this prophecy is that it's given in sections. Actually, the Lord said to Daniel, 7 weeks will be determined upon your people, and then 62 weeks, and then 1 week. He gave the prophecy in 3 segments, and there's a reason why. I'll explain a little bit. But for right now, let's go to Daniel chapter number 9, verse number 26, because by this time we've had the first 7 weeks of years, which is 49 years, and we've had the second 62 weeks of years, which is 434 years, making a total of 483 years. So this passage says, after 483 years, something very important is going to happen. Shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. I told you it was a difficult prophecy, but let's analyze it because we can understand it. There's 2 things here that we know for sure. After 483 years, 2 things are going to happen. Messiah is going to be cut off, and then the people of the prince that shall come are going to destroy the city and the sanctuary. Okay, now we've got a point we can build around. Does anyone here know when Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed? 70 A.D., that's correct. All you have to do is go to your history books. The Roman armies invaded Israel, and they destroyed Jerusalem, and they destroyed the temple in 70 A.D. Okay, so we know that after 483 years, 2 things will happen. The Messiah will be cut off, and the temple in Jerusalem will be destroyed. Well, we know that happened in 70 A.D., but we know something else. We know that before that happens, Messiah has to be cut off. Can you have Messiah cut off before he gets here? So we've got absolute proof here that the Messiah had to be here before 70 A.D. I was talking to a Jewish friend of mine one day, and I said, I just discovered this in the Bible. Does this mean to you what it means to me that the Messiah had to be here before 70 A.D.? And he looked at me and he said, one of them said, I'm not very good in the book of Daniel. Because if he said that, then he's getting ready to be a Christian, right? Because here is absolute proof, because there was a messianic figure came shortly before 70 A.D. And does crucifixion qualify for being cut off? I would say so. The truth is, Jesus was the Messiah. He was cut off, and then the city was destroyed. But we're going to spend our time this evening on verse 27. Now, after the 69 weeks, then you get to the 70th week. There's a gap. We know there's a gap. How do we know? Because after 69 weeks, the Messiah has to be cut off, and the people, the prince that shall come, destroy the city and sanctuary. And that happened in 70 A.D. Messiah was cut off somewhere around 30 A.D. So there's at least a 40-year gap before the 70th week begins. Follow that? Has to be. Now, the truth of the matter is it's more than 40 years. It's a 2,000-year gap, approximately. We're in the gap right now. But you may be almost done with the gap if President Bush is right. We may be getting ready to enter the final 7 years. Here's the passage about the final 7 years, Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. How long is 1 week? 7 years. He'll confirm the covenant with many for 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Boy, there's a lot of mumbo jumbo in that verse, isn't there? What's all that mean? Well, we can know. We're going to break it down, and you're going to, before you leave here tonight, you're going to know what everything in this verse means. So listen up very carefully. First of all, we know that the confirmation of the covenant begins the final 7 years. The goal of the Annapolis Peace Conference, November the 27th, was the confirmation of the covenant. And that's what you're going to keep in mind. Now, it didn't happen. It only set in motion the process that will culminate in the confirmation of the covenant. But that was present.